Good evening, one and all. Here we go, second lot of October. Starting to get, we've had some pretty decent weather here in Connecticut where I am, though. I must admit, this last weekend, sitting out both Saturday and Sunday at the markets, because, selling's pretty steady, nice breeze. Had a German festival on Saturday after that, and on Sunday, we went to hear some mu other music, took the dog, and sitting outside, nice. Wouldn't believe it was middle of October, would you? But then, hey, the way the seasons are these days, who has any idea, don't they? Anyway, so this bloke went to the doctor and he says, "Doctor," he says, "I've got diarrhea. It's hereditary." And the doctor says, "What do you mean it's hereditary? Diarrhea is not hereditary." And the bloke said, "Yes, but it's in my genes." But then hang about. What does that mean? I should have warned my guest I was going to say something like that. What do you mean? It's in your genes. I said, well, it is. People are always checking these days about, the history and stuff like that. And I've got mine back to about 1460, I think, in my direct line sort of thing. So, it's not something, well, within my family, we've done it, shall I say. But what do you do when you look back and you find you had a famous poet come novelist as part of your direct descendant? Does that mean you might end up doing some writing? It might do. The case of my guest today, it indeed did. But we better find out about her first, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Anna Wilmans. Hi, Anna. How are you doing?
Hi, Barry. That's a very intriguing premise that you just suggested about something being in one's genes. And
Right.
the more we learn, the more we realize things are hereditary.
Exactly. I mean,
Yep.
you look back and you sort of, if people find this and find that, and oh, so and so did this, and so and so, your fam. The most common thing is, oh, look at your family. They lived till a right old age. But yeah, it's not that. It's other things as well. And as I said, in your case, you have this famous direct descendant,
I
Alice.
do.
Who is it? You tell everybody.
His name was Alessandro Manzoni, and he was a 19th century romantic writer who lived in Milan, had 12 children, and one of whom was the direct ancestor of my father.
Wow. See, it just shows you now, of course, Italy during that time, late 17th and sort of early 18th century, was the hub, the main point for poetry and such things. I mean, some of the sort of famous towns, obviously Venice and stuff like that, that's where it was. And what's the poem he did? Was it Betrothed? Was that him?
What was it? What?
What was the is it a poem? Betrothed.
No, it wasn't. It's a romantic novel,
Ah, okay, right.
called it's called I Promessi Sposi, which means the betrothed.
Right, I
And
promise something. Yeah.
not that it's the greatest novel ever written, but it's the greatest novel written at that time in Italy, and so the Italians are proud of it.
Right, indeed. Now, I said that, where you come from writing, but that wasn't how this all got, because that writing wasn't exactly the main thing. What was actually doing the investigation. The archaeology is where your main
Yeah.
thing.
That's what I wanted to be ever since I was tiny. I loved archaeology. Although I think I always did like writing, and I think maybe I always knew that I wanted to write something. I knew that I didn't want to follow a strict academic career. And I mean, I always loved mystery and intrigue.
Right. Now, see,
And so, what?
go ahead.
No, you go ahead and ask the questions, and
No,
I'll
so no, I
answer.
was just going to say, because you went to, not far from me, Connecticut College.
I did, yes.
Yeah, I'm
And this,
in Bristol at the moment, so not that far.
you're in Bristol,
Yep.
that's, yeah, and I grew up in Connecticut, and my first exposure to archaeology was on the Connecticut shore,
Yep.
where, Well, there were actually indigenous peoples who lived there.
Yes, there were. Yes.
And I remember going through that with my father, and we would uncover a burial, which would be marked by shells, which is what they did with their burials. But I knew that I was told you must never disturb it. And so actually, even when I became an archaeologist, I never disturbed a burial.
Right. It's weird the stuff. I mean, I've been in Connecticut. I've been to America now since 2000, and
Yes.
I think my grounding's pretty good. And obviously, doing this show, I've picked up
Yes.
lots of things. I mean, I know that is it Greenwich used to be the
Yeah.
boundary between the French and the Americans, part in Connecticut, for instance. And there
I
are,
didn't know that.
oh yeah, that was the line between the two. And the
Really?
lots
That
of
I never
oh
knew. Oh my God.
lots of tribes were killed off around that area and that
That's
because of it. And it's amazing the things you learn. I can tell you about the quilts at G's Bend and the Three Rivers. Yeah, I love this. That's why I love doing this program. And of course, coming from England, one of the things we grew up with was the BBC program called Time Team, where everybody learned and everybody loves archaeology, because it was a 3-day thing that they had.
Really?
Three, oh my, you'd love it. You really would love it. You have 3 days they have
Yes.
to do an archaeological dig, basically.
Yes.
And of
Oh my.
course, in England we have Roman villas every half mile, and
You
stuff like
sure have.
that.
Absolutely.
Iron burials and this, that. You can't sort of move historic monuments, buildings, castles, if iron forts, bronze forts, and everything like that. And it's great. And it had a bloke called Tim Robinson, who played Baldric in Blackadder. He was the sort of man who was the overall. But they had a lot of people did this thing in 3 days, and they discovered all sorts of things, and they sort of
Oh.
explained it all to. It is fan absolutely. I mean, 20, 30 years of it we watched. In fact, they rebrought it back
Yes.
about 3 year ago, not with the same
Yes.
sort of people, because some of the people have obviously died, and the young people, the young teens, are now the elderly archaeologists and that. But it's there, and they still do specials and stuff like that. And they actually did it in America once. They did a did a
Really?
they did one in America. However, they found it didn't work because America having so little historical archaeology sort of thing, they had to literally sieve every spadeful of earth and make sure there wasn't a tiniest bit of bone thing in there. And whereas in England, say, okay, we've done the radar. Yeah, there's a stone, there's stone walls under here. It's about a foot down. Okay, let's get the JCB in and take the top stuff off, which they do. They just take the top stuff off, and then they do the hand digging. Whereas in America, they weren't allowed to do that. Everything had to be dug by a trowel and put through a sieve and stuff. So they only had
Absolutely.
one.
But you know what's exciting about archaeology now is it's going to be less destructive
Yes, with
because you
everything we've
can use
got, yeah.
LIDAR
Yep.
and ground penetrating radar,
Yep.
so you don't even have to take a trowel or anything else.
Exactly.
But
Yeah.
I live in a place now where which is very historical but has no remains, and that's the remains of the Chumash tribe.
Okay.
And because they had no, I'm writing a book on, I'm writing the next Parsi sequel to it right
Is that
now.
was it was it was it all wood like the Middle Ages? Is that what could is it the Middle Ages or isn't not mid, the Dark Ages, because a lot of stuff was wood and there's not much left of it. Is was it the same
No,
with them?
it's because they had no written language, which is a
Ah,
lot,
right.
you know, and it was even there was also most of their history was also ruined and deliberately taken away by the Spanish who came and conquered
Right.
because they wanted to Christianize them
Yep.
and they didn't want any more paganism.
Yeah.
So their culture was pretty much obliterated.
See,
I mean, after
I could have done with you last week. I had a young man on the show. I think he's like 17, 18, and
Yeah.
he's learnt Egyptian hieroglyphics. He's
Ooh.
taken an Egyptian poem and written it in the age. but in modern day typewriting, and I was trying to think about the language, which is the lines, and I couldn't think of it, and I couldn't think of it, and then after the show, it suddenly came to me. I'm thinking of Ogham, which is what Celtic, isn't it? I think it's just lines, basically, but.
Yes, I think, yeah.
I couldn't think of it, and I was sitting. I was sort of half chatting to him and half trying to think what is it? But it was great, and but we were talking about, how much the same this story about an Egyptian, child and his father telling him the sort of jobs he can get and stuff like that. Ten thousand,
Really?
ten thousand. Oh yeah, it's based on this real Egyptian story that he translated from and that, and it's.
Fascinating.
Basically, hasn't changed in 10,000 years. Yeah, it's still the father. Well, if you get this job down the docks, the good thing is you do that. Oh, it's great. One of the other things that I loved growing up was Greek mythology, which is
Oh.
links again to, well, he's not Macedonian, Alexander. I mean, people say Greek, but he wasn't.
He is, but he was taught. I mean, he was taught by classical Greeks, so you would consider him actually a Greek. I mean, he really had that kind of background, and I think that's. I mean, when I was growing up, I had the idea. I think I must have been 3 or 4 years old. I was tiny, but I was able to crawl to the TV, and I saw something on there called The Lone Ranger, and here was a guy with a good, with a white hat, and he was doing good things. And I really wanted to grow up doing that. And then, of course, Achilles always wanted to do good things. I can't say that Alexander did. Alexander was much more out for himself.
I mean, and people don't realize, basically, he conquered the world as was known in those days, didn't he? I mean,
He did, absolutely. He was an amazing force, and he only lived to be, less than 34. He was like 32 or 30, between 32, 32 and 33 when he died. I mean, that's an amazing.
Well, one of the things, of course, he's known for, apart from some of his buildings and stuff like that, and people think this is a modern thing, and that is the stealing of antiquities,
Yes.
and that links to your wonderful book called The Mask Hunter, which tells based around Alexander and the sort of along the Silk Roads and stuff like that, I guess it was, the sort of stealing of all these things, which I know England did a lot later on, and we still got a lot. We're giving some back, but you
Well,
can't.
but that's a really as I was writing the book and thereafter, as I've been doing these interviews, it makes me realize what a complex question this is. Are in fact, let's say the Elgin Marbles, are they safer in the British Museum, or what would they be limestone if they were back in Greece? I mean, that's the question.
That's
And I
right,
think
yeah.
and also there was a but morals change, climates change, and rules change.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the time the marbles were taken, I mean, it was perfectly, an archaeologist could go to any of these countries. Those people didn't care. They took anything they wanted,
Yeah.
even up until the time of Tutankhamun in Egypt.
Yep.
I mean, people could, you could even have a deal and take part of them.
Yeah. Well, that's why they put the curse. They said there were curses on everything to stop people doing that. Was it the Parthenon they had to shut down because people were wearing or the pyramids or something? They were wearing out the pathways with the number of people.
Of course.
Oh,
Yes, and going into the tombs, they have to forbid too, because
yeah.
the your breath, the breaths are polluting
Right.
to
Yes.
the to the wall paintings.
Right.
It's but what is the but it is a question. Would these things be better left in the ground? Well, but then we would not have people able to enjoy them in museums, to know about these cultures. It really is a dilemma, because how many more people, because of these things like the Elgin Marbles,
Yeah.
are
Would never
able
see.
to
You wouldn't see
yeah
them, yeah. I know. It's
you wouldn't
it,
know.
and Every, I would say every day, or at least every other day, and quite often every day, something's new being discovered.
Exactly.
They found this Japanese battleship that's been, it was the biggest one and sunk here, or this wreck, or this thing, or they found the not Atlantis, but another great big part of land between Australia and the East Indies and stuff like that.
Ooh.
All this sort of stuff. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're now bringing in another continent, I think, called basically called Australasia, which is sort of from Australia across there. They've said that was another continent, and they've sort of found all sorts of stuff along there. So it's something we're going to learn all the time. And was it they found there's a planet that was embedded in our planet or something like that, which must have hit there earlier. And oh, all the time there's stuff being discovered, and I think it's wonderful that we do this sort of stuff.
It really is. Because we're talking about, the Mouse Hunter, I did want to bring up something which is
Sure
not in
thing.
our previous decided to talk about. It's a little off the subject, but I think it'll be interesting to your readers, is the fact that Alexander was the first really great propagandist. I mean, he had pictures of himself on every coin. He
Oh,
had
yes.
the lighthouse of Alexandria with a great likeliness, likeness of himself. I mean, even when there was no TV, with
Everybody knew
no
about him.
internet, he kept, look at how much we know. I mean, his PR was fantastic.
It was,
And I
as
don't
you
think
say,
he
the I
realized
mean
that.
the lighthouse, one of the Seven Wonders. I mean, so it was known
Exactly.
by all the world, or the philosophers and that in that world, in the past world. It's great.
And they
Now,
knew, whose city it was. Alexander, named after
exactly.
him.
Let's name it after me. Now, the Mask Hunter, that takes
Yes.
is that basically this it follows the is it the death mask of Alexander? What is the
It
mask?
does, yes. Well,
Give us
I mean,
a
it's a
brief
hypothetical. Okay.
resume of it.
Well,
Don't give too much away.
I won't. It follows Alexander, first of all, even though he was, as you brought out, a Macedonian Greek, I mean, he fancied himself a pharaoh. And so he was even, so he was most probably mummified. And when you're mummified, like Tutankhamun, you have a nice death mask. So even though we haven't found this, we haven't found Alexander yet or his death mask, it's very probable that there was such a thing. So although my story is fiction, it's probable fiction.
So it's got an underlining, based on truth, and this is your
It
interpretation
is,
of it,
yes.
basically.
Yeah.
So what does it do? Is it do you just use this to, to tell this story, or is it almost through the mask that you tell the story of?
Well, I use it in both ways. The mask, we follow the mask through the illegal underground to museums, to the legitimate world. And so in the way when it tells the story of how now that it's illegal to take antiquities from their country of origin, unlike the time when the Elgin Marbles went to London, this is largely done by the mafia, and using the same channels that they use to smuggle drugs. It's not a nice world. I mean, you just don't march in like Lord Elgin anymore and say, well, okay, or even Carnarvon was able to take things from Tutankhamun's tomb, right? But you can't do that. No, it's the provenance of the underground, and that makes it very ugly.
You don't know, as you say, the seedy side of stuff.
It is seedy. It's very seedy, and it's populated by seedy characters. But what becomes so baffling is the fact that these antiquities, let's in this case the mask, begins in Egypt and then is smuggled into Geneva, where it's given a legal provenance, so it then becomes all squeaky clean and is suitable for a museum. And this actually happened at the Getty Museum. I mean, or in the Metropolitan of New York. I mean, in almost any museum, you know, now they've dealing in this because they can't get stuff legally now, so they get it illegally.
It's really weird. You know, you see this sort of stuff, and you sort of say, oh, they've discovered a coin hoard or something like that. Hang on, if it's more than six coins or something like that, it becomes, in England anyway, it becomes a treasure trove, and as such goes to the government and all this sort of stuff. People don't, but I mean, you dig, well, you're walking along and you see something on the floor, people pick it up, put it in their pocket, and or take a chip from the Berlin Wall, you know, going to modern times. You know, how many people have got a genuine piece of Berlin Wall in their house?
It's it was collected all the time. People came and collected all this. Yeah, it was well known. They did it all the time.
Yeah, it's great. Of course, Alexander, famously.
Yes.
A well-known horse. And horses are part of your sort of stuff as well, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely my sort of stuff. and ironically, right now, and I didn't plan this. Uh-huh. It was before I even wrote the book. I rescued a half Arab horse, which happened to be a descendant of Bucephalus.
Really?
We know this because all of the Arabs were very careful about
their bloodline,
their horses.
Yep.
Oh, you know blood stock because you're English. You know how that's done.
Oh yeah.
And so it's easy to trace this. And the horse that I rescued, I just didn't want. Turns out, he's wonderful, and he looks like Bucephalus. So I mean, that was totally just serendipity.
Wow. What did I find out the other day about horses? Oh, there's only three models of Trigger. Roy Rogers' horse Trigger died, there's three sort of like stuffed replicas of them. One is at the original ranch, Roy Rogers' ranch.
Wherever his ranch was. I don't know its name, but.
Where was the second one? The second one, I think, might have been in Las Vegas. And the third one is at the Denver Broncos Stadium.
Oh, of course, that's a place where it would be. Isn't that interesting?
It is. I mean, I love all this stupid stuff. My wife says, you know all this ridiculous stuff.
Well, let me add another stupid thing.
Tell me.
In Paris, you can actually see Napoleon's horse stuffed.
Yes, in the where was it? I forgot where it was.
Yeah.
Not the Louvre. It's in the one of the museums, isn't it?
It is in one of the museums.
Yeah, I can't think, but yeah, I mean, it's great to pick all this stuff up. Quickly getting back to the book. Before we talk to her, I can talk to you about the other stuff after. But it's been out a little while. What sort of response have you had to it?
Well, I've got some good reviews.
Good.
Got some good reviews.
And the people, I mean, have you had sort of people contacting you saying, yeah, did you know about this? Or thank you for telling me that. I didn't realize that before, you know, with the history part.
Not as much as you'd expect. But they have said that they like the book.
Right.
But they haven't said something they didn't know. But not that particular question, but
now you've done this one. Now you've done this one. You've got another one on the way?
Yeah, I've got the one on the indigenous people.
Oh, about the people you said. Right, yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be it's in the works right now. The indigenous peoples in California were treated horribly by the Spaniards.
Right.
You probably know.
Right.
And this story starts there, but then it evolves into modern times. There's a connection.
Now.
And there's a little bit of, what?
No, I was just saying the Chumash people, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's not the land where they believe there is a like a small version of the Great Wall of China being built by some early people?
No.
Okay, it's over that way somewhere. It's just in from California. There's evidently a The number of people, you know, who came to America first and stuff like that. I mean, they even say Marco
Oh,
Polo came
yeah,
here
there's
and
a
stuff.
lot of stuff we don't
But
know.
there is a like a replica of the Great Wall of
Really?
China.
Now that I would love to know. Now, if you could tell me about this, because that's very relevant for the book that I'm writing,
Well,
because there
I will
was
try and find out.
find out, Barry, and there is one connection here, because in my there was a bead found here on the property which could be Chinese, and so several people that I know have making connections with Chinese having landed here
Lots
well
of people.
before this day.
Yeah,
You
lots
know
of.
that, so and so I'm going to make that connection as well. It's
Right.
going to be Parthi is going to find the bead. Actually, another friend of mine find the bead. Parthi will find the bead. She'll then have a connection to this girl who was taken as a forced bride, which means sort of raped and taken to the Presidio, treated badly, and that but then remains on the land as a spirit guarding it. So that's how I'm going to weave the story together.
Well, it has been fantastic reweaving this story about you and your book. But time is getting ahead of us now. So what I'm going to do,
Oh, sorry about that. You're
that's
such a
okay.
good conversation.
That's
I
okay.
just got carried away.
I lose track of time myself. Anyway, I will hand the show over to you so that you can tell
Okay.
everybody where they can catch up with your great book, which of course, and also
Okay.
find out more about you.
Okay. The book is The Mask Hunter, and it's available on Amazon and where all good books are sold. My website is Anna Willmans, that's Willmans, at a dot com. And I'm all on all social media where you can find me. And I'm happy to answer anybody's any questions. Love to get to know my readers.
Okay, well, it's been absolutely wonderful chatting to you. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And perhaps when your new book's out, you'll come back because I'd love to talk to you about that one.
Oh, thank you, Barry, very much. And also, but you've got to tell me about that wall. That's very important for that movie.
I'll find out about it. It was on a program I saw about who were the people who first landed, who first discovered America,
Oh, that's,
The
yeah.
Irish priest and the Scottish bloke and the China, all
Yeah.
these different countries and these things that they found that are not natural. I mean, I think the last I heard was that they found some flint work or stone work that was made by
Yeah.
the same prehistoric styles as there are in France, and they reckoned that during the ice ages they might have made their way round from France round the edge of the ice packs and
Ooh.
stuff like that. But I will find out and I will let you know. Okay,
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. I've enjoyed this.
thank you, and thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. How about that then? Great fun. Anna, I can't talk now. Anna Willmans, Willmans, Willmans. Ah, what great stuff to be able to chat about stuff like that. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. Until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.